Well, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Gimel. We are picking up on the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Va'azdu is where we left off. Va'azdu. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line. So says the Gemara, Va'azdu l'tamayu, that both of the opinions mentioned before go according to their reasonings. This Sanya. So we'll say, remember, we were speaking about the way this Sugya got started was an interesting discussion about the ability of an Orel to participate in Para Aduma. So remember, again, this all got started on Sunday. So all got started on Sunday when we spoke about the idea that the Orel has the ability to become Tahar from Tumas Meis, even though he is in a state of Arelos, even though he's in a state of Arelos. So that kind of opened up the door to discuss the question of, well, can he participate in other parts of the Para Aduma process? Meaning, can he be the one who sprinkles the ashes? And we brought up peripherally yesterday, but we'll get more into it today. Can he be the one who mixes the mixture of the ashes with the water together? So the Azdula Tamayu. So they go according to their reasoning. This Sanya, Hakol Ksherim Lekadesh, everyone is kosher l'kadesh. I will say the kadesh means the process of mixing the ashes of the Para Aduma with the water. So everyone is permitted to go out and mix it. Chutz mecheresh shota v'katon, with the exception of the cheresh, the deaf mute, the shota, the person who's insane, and the katon, the minor. Rabbi Huda machshir b'katon. Rabbi Huda says that a katon is permitted to do so. Uposel b'isha b'androgynous. But he says that a woman and an androgynous are not permitted to go ahead and mix the waters. So the Gemara says, "My time of the Rabbanon." So let's go through each of the positions. What's the reason of the Rabbanon? Dichsev b'lokchu latame me'afar sreifas hapara. Because the pasuk says, "You will take for the tame from the ashes of the burnt." Me'afar sreifas achatos. Hanach de pasli ba'asifa psulin bikidush. So ultimately, again, the Rabbanon understand that those who are possible to collect the ashes are also possible to what? Are also possible to go ahead and mix it together. Rashi says over here, the lokhu latame basar asifas paraksiv. After the collection of the ashes, this pasuk is written, hachavod de kidush, ve'in avod mafsek is ben saim. So essentially, the Rabbanon darshan the fact that there's a juxtaposition between the collection of the ashes and the mixing of the ashes with the water, indicating that what applies to the process of collection of the ashes applies to the process of the mixing of the ashes. Just look at the next Rashi. Hanach de psulim ba'asifa psulim kidush. Therefore, those who may not go ahead and collect the ashes also may not go ahead and mix the ashes. V'hasam darshinan v'asaf ish v'lo katan tahor l'achshira sa'isha. Therefore again, the Rabbanan will say that the same way that a katan can collect the ashes, he can't mix it, the same way that a isha, that a woman can collect the ashes, so to a woman can mix the ashes as well. So that's the sheet of the Rabbanan. For Rabbi Huda amr l'cha, Rabbi Huda will say to you, last white line on the bottom, not last white line, the first of the white lines on the bottom, Rabbi Huda amr l'cha, imkei ne'makra v'lakach. If that's the case, that the Torah is just simply trying to tell me that whoever could go ahead and collect the ashes could also mix the ashes, let the Torah just say, v'lakach, my v'lakchu. Why does it say v'lakchu plural? Da'afidu hanach de psulim hasam ksherim hacha. To teach you that what? That even those who are pasul, hasam rabosai means by the collecting of the ashes, are kasha where? By the mixing of the ashes. If that's the case, and why does Rabbi Yehuda say that a woman can't mix the ashes and the water if a woman is permitted to go ahead and collect the ashes and the water? To which Rabbi Yehuda responds, very simple, v'nasan v'lo v'nasna, because the Torah is written again in the masculine, telling you that the man may mix it, but does not say that the woman may do so. For Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon would say, ikse v'lakach v'nasan, hava amina shako chad v'yoiv chad. So the Rabbanon will say, if the Torah would have said v'lakach v'nasan singular, I would have said only one person could collect the ashes, and only one person can mix the ashes. Therefore, the Torah writes, they shall take plural. Meaning that even more than one person could go ahead and do it. And if the Torah would have said, they can take and they shall mix. Vinasnu means place, but it's referring to the placing of the ashes in the water itself. So I might have said, what? I might have said that what? That two people need to collect it and two people need to mix it. Therefore, Kasav Rachmana v'lakhu v'nasan. Therefore, the Torah says they shall take plural and he shall place singular. That even two people could collect it and only one person could go ahead and mix it. Tap of Ayin Gimel. Correct. Correct. No, just to reject that previous drasha. So the Gemara says, "V'hiza tara la tame," and the pasuk says that literally the person who is tahar will go ahead and sprinkle it on the tame. So we'll say, interestingly enough, tahar michlal shu tame. So we'll say this sounds a little bit strange. So the Gemara says the fact that the Torah calls the person who's sprinkling a tahar indicates to us what? That he's really tame. And I'll say, now what does that mean? So what that means is like this. Had the Torah been silent and not said anything, I would have automatically assumed that the person who is sprinkling the ashes of the paraduma must be what? Must be tar. Right? That's obvious because at the end of the day, this is an avoda. I mean, not a sacrificial avoda, but this is certainly an avoda. So the fact that the Torah has to tell me that he's tahar, the Gemara says, indicates to me that he's tahar, but yet not in entirety. So what's the case of someone who's tar, but not tar in entirety? Limit al tvul yom shekasher bapara. Teaches us that a tvul yom, also remember, what is a tvul yom? A tvul yom is someone who is tameh, went to the mikvah, but requires hair of shemesh, requires again the sun to set in order to become fully tameh. So also remember, we saw this, we spent a lot of time on this tvul yom and part. Do you remember where? In Maseches Yuma, right? With this at the beginning of Yuma, we spoke about this extensively. So okay, so the Gemara is just bringing an additional drush by Paraduma. So they asked Rav Sheshes the following shaila. Orel mahu b'meiser. It will say, is an orel permitted to eat meiser? Now what they're referring to over here is meiser sheni. Remember, meiser sheni is the tithe that you have to separate, but the farmer is permitted, that's his. He's permitted to consume it himself with one caveat, which is he has to take it to Yerushalayim. Okay, so it's his b'tegi Yerushalayim. So is an orel permitted to eat meiser sheni? So the Gemara says, ki heichi di yalif pesach mi meiser. So let's analyze this. So maybe we'll say like this. The same way that we learn out karban pesach from meiser, le'inyan aninos. So we have a limud that says that the same way that you can't eat meiser sheni in a state of aninos, you can't go ahead, remember that's the v'lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. So the same way I can't eat meiser sheni in aninos. So we learn out from there that you can't eat your karban pesach in a state of aninos either. So the same way that we learn out pesach from meiser sheni in terms of aninos, yolif nami meiser mi pesach le'inyan arelos. I will say, meaning once we have a connection right between Pesach and Meiser, teaching you that just like you can't eat Meiser Sheni in a state of Aninos, you can't eat Pesach in a state of Aninos, I'll say, I can learn out now what? I can learn out Meiser Sheni from Pesach. And just like you can't eat Pesach if what? If you are in Arel, so too you can't eat Meiser Sheni if you are in a state of Arelos as well. Oh, and the rabbis say that would seem to answer the question, that you can't eat Meiser Sheni if you are in Arel. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps the other possibility is no. Chomer Mikal Yolif. Kal mechamer lo yalef. We'll say, or the other way I can say is no. That's not really a good limud. Why? Because to learn out Pesach from Meiser, that I can do. Because I will say again, essentially, I can learn out something that's kal for something that's chamer. I.e., I can say to myself, if Meiser Sheni, which is generally kal, cannot be consumed in a state of aninos, so certainly again Pesach, which is more chamer, can't be consumed in a state of aninos. But I can't make the reverse argument. I can't say that Pesach, which can't be consumed by an arel, also means that Meiser, which is more kal, can't be consumed by an arel. Because maybe it's not true. Maybe it's only Pesach because it's more chamer can't be consumed by an arel, but Meiser, which is more kal, can be consumed by an arel. Therefore, again, I will say we're still back to the same question, which is, can an arel eat meiser sheni? Amar lehu. So remember again, this is, who are they asking this from? Rav Sheshes, thank you. So Rav Sheshes responded, Tini Suha, we learned this. Hatshuma v'abikurim chayavan alein misa v'chomesh v'asurin l'zarim. So I will say truma, right? Truma, remember, refers to just the regular Kohanic portion of truma. V'abikurim, first fruits. Chayav alein misa. So we'll say, again, what does this mean? Rashi says, misa hatame ha'ochla k'dichsevu meisu ki'ichalur. So we'll say, if a person who's tame intentionally goes ahead and eats truma or bikurim, you chayav misa for that. The chomesh, so we'll say chomesh is the additional fifth. Rashi says over here chomesh zar ha'ochlan b'shogeg. This is if a non-kohen ate one of these items b'shogeg, right? He ate it accidentally. He has to pay Karen, the principal, plus an additional penalty fifth. Rashi points out over here, by the way, aval b'maser sheni lo dehazarim achli ve'in chomesh ala b'podes masro. Rashi just sliding in over here, that chomesh, that additional fifth, only applies to the accidental consumption of Kohanic portions. But non-Kohanic portions do not have a penalty fifth. Vasrun Lazarim, and non-Kohanim may not eat these items, meaning Truma and Bikurim. The Hain Nichse Kohen, and Rabbos say Truma and Bikurim are the property of the Kohen. Rabbos say, we've seen this before. What does it mean they're Nichse Kohen? What is it? What's the ramifications of that? He can be Makadesh a woman with it. So if a Kohen goes over to a woman and gives her Bikurim, and says, "Sorry, at mikudesh asli, you know, beperos elu." So, I mean, there's a shavar puta. Lemais again, the kiddushin works. Ve'nichsekoin ve'olin be'echad umea. This is actually interesting. They are bottle in a 100-to-1 ratio. So, meaning again, I will say, whereas, let's say, for example, if Maaser Sheni gets mixed in with something, Maaser Sheni's bottle barov, you just need a simple majority of something else. For Truma and Bikurim, you need a 100-to-1 ratio of permitted items to the Truma and Bikurim, and then they are bottle. Furthermore, Utu'unin Rechitzis Sadaim, you have to wash your hands before partaking of Truma and Bikurim. Rashi says over here, "Utunin rechitzas daim vaafilu hein peros." The stami adaim shnios hein midrabana posels hashuma. So we'll say we spoke about the whole din of shnios. Where did we spend a lot of time about shnios? What did we just learn before Yavamas? Chagiga. Thank you. Whew. Okay, yeah. Good. Thank you, Simon. You redeemed the whole shir, including myself. Good. Thank you. So in Chagiga, we spent a significant amount of time speaking about the Tumah Tara b'Shnios. So the Gemara said the following. So therefore, again, you have to wash your hands. And Rashi points out over here, thank you for the Rak Shnio. I think it was very helpful, right? So Rashi points out over here that remember you have to wash your hands because stam yadayim are shnios. Stam yadayim, meaning unwashed hands, are considered to be rabbinically tamei. Okay, so you have to wash your hands. V'her of shamesh and Abba Sayan, if a person was tamei, going to the mikvah is not enough, but rather one must have the sun set prior to partaking of Truman Bikurim. Hari elu b'truma bikurim, masha'in ki yamais. Rabbi say all of these things that we just stated are true by truma and bikurim, but are not true by ma'aser sheni. So by ma'aser sheni, the halacha, none of these halachos apply. So the Gemara says, v'im nisa, and if it's true, that what? That an orel is not permitted to eat ma'aser sheni, nisni orel aser bahen, masha'in ki yamais. Now, Rabosai, if it was true that an orel is permitted to eat Ma'aser Sheni, it could have said another difference between Truma Bikurim and Ma'aser Sheni is what? That an orel can't eat Truma and Ma'aser Sheni, but an orel can eat what? An orel can't eat Bikurim and Truma, but an orel can eat Ma'aser Sheni. Now, the fact that the Gemara did not say that, the fact that the Braisa did not, indicates to us what? That when it comes to Arelos, Ma'aser Sheni is the same thing as Truma and Bikurim, meaning what? That an RL cannot eat it. So it seems to me, based on this price, again, on both sides, it's not based on what the Brisa said, it's based on what the Brisa didn't say. That remember, this whole Brisa is dedicated to pointing out differences between Truma and Bikurim on one hand and Ma'aser Sheni on the other hand. Now, again, here's what we do know. We know that an RL cannot eat Truma and Bikurim. That we've already established. If you want to tell me that an RL can eat Ma'aser Sheni, then that distinction should have been included in the Brisa. The fact that it was not included in the Brisa, so it seemed to indicate to us what? That an Orel may not eat Ma'aser Sheni in the same way that he can't eat Truma and Bikurim. To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi, De'im Isa, the kal mechamer lo yalif, umutter Orel b'Ma'aser, it should have said it. To which the Gemara answers, Tana v'shir. To which the Gemara says, no, the truth is, an RL is permitted to eat Ma'aser Sheni, but rather, again, the Tana did not include every single difference between Truma and Bikurim and Ma'aser Sheni. Meaning, in other words, what the Gemara is suggesting is, this list is not an exhaustive one. It's not the complete one. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. The Gemara says, Umay shir, daha shir. So what exactly did the Tana leave off? Meaning, I will say, if you tell me that it's not an exhaustive list, you have to tell me that the Tana left off more than just one thing. What else was left off from the list? The Katani Sefer, yesh b'maisra bikurim masha'in kein b'truma. Because look at the Sefer. The Sefer says that there is something that applies to maisra sheni and bikurim that does not apply to truma. How so? Sha'maisra v'habikurim tu'unin havas makom. Because we'll say maisra sheni and bikurim require what? Require being brought to Yerushalayim, uti'unin vidui, and require some type of confession. Va'asr la'onin, and again, ma'aseh sheni bikurim are not permitted to an onin. Rabbi Shimon matir, but Rabbi Shimon says, no, bikurim are permitted to an onin. V'chayavin bebir, and they're chayavin bir. I will say, remember, what bir means ultimately is, at the end, look at Rashi, v'chayavin bebir, bikurim u'maiser sheni b'shana hashlishis, shimsha ma'asrosav shana rishona u'shniya, molichin b'shlishis Yerushalayim, u'misvada bi'arti ha'kolish min ha'bayis, v'im lo holichon misparim b'chomakum shiz. I will say, bir means at the end of the third year, in the third year of the Shemitah cycle, there's something called bir maestros, which means, again, if you have any leftover tithes that you did not go ahead and separate, you need to separate those out from your home and bring them to Yerushalayim. Reb Shimon says, on the other hand, that no, bikurim are not subject to the laws of bir. V'ilu aser leva'er mehen bituma, v'ochlan bitumas atzman, loke. Masha'in kein b'truma lo katani. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what's not included over here? So this statement of aslavan b'tuma, you may not go ahead and separate them bituma in a state of tuma. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says v'ilu asr levar mehen bituma. Still on Amud Aleph. V'ilu asr levar mehen bituma. The Tanakama demakish bikurim lemaiser lechomili. According to the Tanakama, who equates bikurim with maiser, maiser sheni for all things. Havele lemisne. He should have written in there in this list the asr lahadlik mehem imnitmu. That if the Maaser Sheni and Bikurim became Tameh, you are not permitted to burn them. De'ein tum'asan matir lahavara. Because just because they become Tameh does not allow you to burn them in a way that from which you will get benefit. V'lo arminon afagav v'lo nitan maaser el la'achilu shdi osicho. Kedichsiv v'achalto, hani militar. Aval hecha denitma d'lo chazi la'achila yadlik po. Ela asr leva'er betuma kidichsev lo bi'arti menu betame mashenki betruma detum asam matira sabhavara kidlof lekama mashmain. So, both say, interesting enough, what the Gemara points out over here is that this price did not indicate the idea that by truma and maaser, by bikurim and maaser, if the bikurim maaser become tame, you are not permitted to burn them in a way from which you will get benefit. On the other hand, va'ochlasan betumas atzman, nor can you go ahead and eat them if they become tameh, and if you do so, you get malchus. Masha'inki mitruma. Look, however, again, this is not true in the case of truma. In the case of truma, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says de'ino musarba elu b'tumas aguf. So Rabbi say, when it comes to bikurim maaser sheni, the Gemara is making an assumption that you may not eat them, even if you're tahar and the truma maaser sheni and the bikurim maaser sheni are tameh. Furthermore, again, you may not burn them. If they become tameh, you may not burn them in a way from which you get benefit, even if those items are tameh. This is different than truma. Because when it comes to truma, look at Rashi, Masha'inki b'truma, top of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, De'ino Musar Ba, Ela B'tumas Haguf. Because when it comes to truma, the only time it is usher to you is when you yourself are tummy. Kedichsiv bakachim lo yachal, ava b'tumas atzma lo matzinu azhara, ela iser asay. But if the truma is tummy, and you eat that truma, you have not violated a law, you violated a positive commandment. Ta ashkechon mei lekamam b'shmaitin, umid lo katan li shma mina tana v'shay. So we'll say the point the Gemara is making over here is what? You see that the braisa is not an exhaustive list. So because the braisa is not an exhaustive list, therefore the omission of one particular case is not a riot. So we'll say, to bring this together. So therefore, we wanted to prove from here the fact that the braisa goes ahead and what? Spends its time discussing the distinctions between truma and bikurima on one side and maaser sheni on the other, and does not make a distinction lagabe orel, would seem to indicate that truma, bikurim, and maaser sheni are all in the same boat for an orel. Namely, that the same way that an orel can't eat truma or bikurim, an orel also cannot what? An orel also cannot go ahead and eat truma. To which the Gemara says, that's not a raya. That's not a raya, meaning the omission of the orel case on the braisa is not a raya, because at the end of the day, lemaisa, again, this brisa is not a fully conclusive or fully comprehensive list. Okay, so I suggest you should know halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin is that an Orel is not permitted to eat Maaser Sheni. We actually accept that limud from Pesach. We actually accept that Kal V'chomer from Pesach, the connection between Pesach and Maaser Sheni. To say, just like again, we learned from Maaser Sheni to Pesach that you can't eat Pesach in a state of aninus. We learn from Pesach to Maaser Sheni that what? That you can't eat Maaser Sheni in a state of arelos. That is how the Rambam passes in this sugya. Let's go back a little bit. So we'll say, remember again, now the Gemara is going to go back and dissect that brisa that we spoke about before. So remember we said before, va'asurin la'onin, that ma'aser sheni and bikurim cannot be consumed by an onin. Rabbi Shimon Matir. But Rabbi Shimon says that an onin is permitted to eat bikurim. So again, Tanakhama says that an onin, remember an onin is a very specific state between death and burial. So Tanakhama said that the onin cannot consume Maaser Sheni or bikurim. And Rabbi Shimon says that, no, I agree with you with Maaser Sheni, but he can eat bikurim. So another whom? So where do we know this, that bikurim are usher to an onin? Because the Pasuk says, lo sucha, this is talking about Tanakhama, lo sucha le'echol b'sharecha, ma'asar degoncha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha, utrumas yadecha. Because the Pasuk says, you shall not eat within your borders, within your gates, I should say. Masa degancha, literally the tithe of your wheat, tirosh yitzar, your grapes and your olives, utrumas yadcha, and ultimately again the truma of, excuse me, trumas yadecha, I'm sorry, and the truma of your hand. Va'amarmar, and what's this? Va'amarmar, trumas yadecha, elu bikurim. I will say, what is truma siadecha? What does that refer to? So Mara said that refers to bikurim, first fruits. And what do you see from here? V'iskish bikurim lemaiser. And we see that the pasuk itself equates bikurim to maiser. How so? Ma maiser asr la'onin. Just as maiser is asr to an onin. This is maiser sheni. Just as maiser sheni is asr to an onin. Therefore, what? Af bikurim asr la'onin. So to bikurim is not permitted to onin. So we'll say a very simple drasha. They're all mentioned in the same context. Therefore, thereby equating their halachos. The same way that, again, onin is not permitted to eat maiser sheni. An onin is also not permitted to go ahead and eat bikurim. So most of Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon, so remember, Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon holds that lemaisa, again, it is only the Isra is only by Maaser Sheni, but not by Bikurim. So Reb Shimon will say, Truma Karin Hu Rachmana. The Torah calls Bikurim Truma, right? Because remember, again, everyone's agreeing that phrase, Trumas Yadecha, refers to Bikurim. So the Torah goes out of the way to call Bikurim Truma, Ma Truma Muteres La'onein, Av Bikurim Muter La'onein. If that's the case, again, don't compare Bikurim to Maaser Sheni. What should you compare Bikurim to? Truma. Because the Torah itself labels Bikurim as Truma. What's the halacha by Truma? Truma is mutter to an onain. Therefore, what? Bikurim must be mutter to an onain as well. The chayavin bebiur. And therefore, again, I will say the same way that Truma is subject to the laws of beer, meaning, i.e., in year number three of the Shemitah cycle, you have to go to make sure that all of your tithes are out of your house. So too, again, Bikurim will also be subject to the laws of Bior. Reb Shimon says that Lemaisa, again, no, Bikurim are not subject to the laws of, Bior, thank you. So what is this about? To which the Gemara says, Mar Makish, Umar Lo Makish. Look at Rashi. Mar Makish, Tanakama Makish, Bikurim Lemaiser. So Tanakama equates Bikurim to Maaser Sheni. Dechsiv Be'biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. And Reb Shimon does not. Okay, so we'll say, so that's piece number one. So piece number one, again, fundamental machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Here, let's start with what they agree with, because I want to give you just like this in units. So let's go with what they agree with. They both agree that Lemaisa, Maaser Sheni cannot be consumed in a state of aninos, where they disagree in terms of Bikurim. So Tanakama holds that Bikurim cannot be consumed in a state of aninos. Rabbi Shimon says it can. What's their machlokes based on? Their machlokes is based on The machlokas is based on how you understand that phrase, Trumas Yadecha. Trumas Yadecha refers to Bikurim. So the Tanna Kamma will say that the fact that Bikurim is mentioned in the same pasuk as Maaser Sheni tells us that you have to link a Bikurim Maaser Sheni. Just like Maaser Sheni can't be consumed while you're an Onin, so to Bikurim can't be consumed while you're an Onin. Rabbi Shimon will say what? But the Torah calls Bikurim Trumas Yadecha, which indicates to us that the Torah is equating Bikurim with Truma. Just like Truma can be consumed in a state of Aninos, so to Bikurim can be consumed in a state of Aninos. So also I say, how do we paskin? So we paskin that Lamaisa Bikurim is Asr to an Onin. We equate Bikurim with Maaser Sheni, and both Bikurim and Maaser Sheni cannot be consumed in a state of Aninos. Next, Va'asr Mivair Mehen Bituma. Va'ochlon Bitumas Atzmon Loke. And I will say again, it is not permitted to go ahead and Levair Mehen Bituma means that I will say, if Maaser Sheni and Bikurim become Tomei, if they both become Tameh, you can't burn them in a way from which you get benefit. What does that mean, burn them from which you get benefit? Cook, fireplace, right? I want to warm myself by it. Or simpler, I want to use it in my stove. Right? I want to use it in my stove to cook my food. So you're not permitted to do that, even though what? Even though the Maaser Sheni and Bikurim are both Tamehin. Furthermore, Va'ochlan Batumas Aslan, if Maaser Sheni and Bikurim become Tameh, and you're Tahor, you cannot eat those items, and if you do so, what? Loke, you get Malkus. So, Minalan, where do we know this from? This Sanya, because we learned in Abraisa, Rabbi Shimon says, Lo bi arti memeno b'tameh. So, what's that, right? The Pasuk says, by Maaser Sheni, I have not literally, see, it's interesting because this gives us a different understanding of this pasuk. I have not burned it while it was tame and I was tar, parentheses, in a way that gave me benefit. Bein sha'ani tame v'hutar, whether I was tame and the Maaser Sheni was tar, because again, I will say that would be usher because you can't get benefits from the Maaser Sheni and Bikurim while you are tame. Bein sha'ani tar v'hutame, or whether the Maaser Sheni and Bikurim are tameim and I'm tahar, I didn't burn it in a way from which I got benefit. V'heichan musar alachilaso, and where does it tell you that you can't eat it? Where does it tell that you can't eat it? To which the Gemara says, to which he answered, in yodea. I don't know. If look at Rashi, in yodea, lav mufurash lakach nemar lo suchal, v'hash taparach hashas mikamei delosek misla. So I'll say, so I don't know. I know that it's true because this is what I got from my rabbein, but I'm not exactly sure what the proof to that is. Tumas haguf behedjiksev. Now both say, when the person is tamei, and let's say the Maaser Sheni Bikurim tahar, so that case is stated explicitly, nefesh asher tigabo v'tama ada erev, because the pasuk says that if the nefesh asher tigabo v'tama ada erev, and it says v'lo yochal, the pasuk says v'lo yochal min hakadoshim kiim rachatz b'sara b'mayim. So both say, the fact that if I am tamei, I can't go out and come in contact, or of course, eat the Maaser Sheni and Bikurim. So that's obvious. That's explicitly stated within the Torah itself. Rather, hachi kami barilei. This is the shayla. Tumas atzmo minayin. How do I know the case of tumas atzmo? We'll say tumas atzmo is a case of where the person himself is tahar, but the Maaser Sheni atzmo in this case means the etzem of the Maaser Sheni. And the Maaser Sheni is tummy. How do I know in that case, where again, the Maaser here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, actually, no, not yet, I'm sorry. So how do I know the case of Tumas Atzmo? Tamalomar, lo suchal le'echol b'sha'arecha, ma'asar digancha. Because the pasuk says, you shall not eat within your gates the Maaser of your grain. U'lahalon hu omer, and later on it says, b'sha'arecha tochlenu, and the pasuk says later on that within your gates they shall eat it, the tame and the tar together, like the tzi, like the deer and the ram. So we'll say, so what's happening over here? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, b'sharecha tochlenu, b'psuli hamukdoshin koi, la'achar pidyona shochlen zar. Now we'll say, as we are going to see, that pasuk of b'sharecha sochlenu atamei v'atar yachtav k'tzi k'chaya, it's about p'suli hamukdoshin. P'suli hamukdoshin means certain animals that are disqualified for sacrificial purposes that can then be consumed. So the simplest answer, the simplest example of this, for example, is like b'char behema. If you have a firstborn animal that is technically the property of the kohen, l'maisev, that gets a mum, so the owners are permitted to go ahead and eat it.
permitted to eat it. So that's what the Torah would say, that essentially it's been deconsecrated and therefore could even be eaten within your gates, and a Tame and a Tara could sit down and eat it together. V'tana de Be'elio, V'tana de Be'er Bishmal, excuse me. And in the Shira Bishmal they taught, Afilu Tame V'tar Ochlin Al Shulchan Echad. A Tame and a Tara could even go ahead and mamishwat, even eat this on one shulchan. Bekara achos, even from one plate, ve'inon choshishin. And yet what? They do not go ahead and there's no chashash. The ka'amar achmana, and the Torah tells us, ha'hi de'amri lecha hasam b'sharecha tachlanu. Hacha lo secho. That's what Moshe Siddur from the Torah tells us. This is a very specific allowance. The specific allowance of hatame vahatar yachlenu. I'm quoting that wrong. The hatame vahatar yachdov kitziv chayas. Let me be clear about this. So the Torah is giving us a very specific case in which if the item becomes disqualified, the laws of ritual purity and impurity no longer apply, to the point that literally a person who's tamei, a person who starts to sit down and eat together mamish on the same plate. But when is that true? That is only true by psuli hamukdashin. That is only true in a very specific case of, let's say again, a sacrificial animal like a bachar behema that becomes disqualified. Therefore, again, the laws of ritual purity and impurity no longer apply to it. But the fact that the Torah singles out the case of psuli hamukdashin indicates that what is true by psuli hamukdashin does not apply to other cases. For example, what other cases does it not apply to? Meiser Sheni. That even in a situation of Meiser Sheni that became Tameh, and let's say I myself is Tahar, still nevertheless what? I am not permitted to go ahead and eat that Meiser Sheni. So we'll say, essentially all the Gemara is saying is, and this is a general klal, that whenever the Torah specifies something in one unique case, it's to tell you that that allowance applies in that case and not in others. So the Torah is giving me a specific case of where if a kadosh item becomes disqualified, that even if Tamei and Tara people can eat it together, indicates that it's dafka in that case where that happens, but in other cases it cannot. Therefore, in the case of Meiser Sheni, that became Tamei, even though I am still Tahor, I still may not consume that Meiser Sheni. Fine. Masha'en came b'truma. However, again, this is different by truma. Remember, by truma, the halacha is also that you can't go ahead and burn the truma. This is even the truma that's tamei for your own benefit. Minalon, where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi Avo, so Rabbi Avo said the following. Because the pasuk says, "Lo biarti mimenu bitamei." So the Gemara says, "I did not go ahead." Now the way the Gemara is understanding this over here, biarti mimenu, I did not burn from it in a state of tuma. Mimenu I ata mavir, from it you may not burn. Aval ata mavir shemen shel truma shenitma. So you say, remember again, this is by Meister Sheni. So the Gemara is suggesting over here like this: it's by Meister Sheni. Where if what? Where if the Meister Sheni becomes tamei, even if I am tar, I may not burn it in a way from which I get benefit from it. It's dafka by Meister Sheni. However, again, aval ata mavir shemen shel truma venitma. But Rabbi say, if I have truma oil that became tamei, I can't consume it, but I am permitted to what? I am permitted to burn it in a way from which I can get benefit. So the Gemara says, Ve'ima, why don't you say instead, Ve'ima, mimenu i'ata mavir, ava ata mavir shemen shel kodesh nitma. But why don't you say the following? Maybe again the exclusion is like this. You can't go ahead and burn oil of Meiser Sheni in a way that you get benefit from it. But maybe again that is not true by shemen shel kodesh, right? Sacrificial oil that became tamei, I can go ahead and burn it in a way from which I get benefit. To which the Gemara lav kavachomer hu. Is that not the kavachomer? What's the kavachomer? Uma meiser hakal amra Torah lo biarti menu b'tamei. So say if it comes to Meiser Sheni, where what? Where the Torah said that I may not go ahead. I cannot go ahead and burn it for my own benefit when it became tamei. Kodesh chomer lo koshikin. I will say, does it go without saying that kodesh, right, sacrificial item that is more chomer than meiser? Of course, you can't burn it if it is tamei and you are tar in a way from which you get benefit. If that's the case, trumanami kavachomerhu. So we'll say, if you're going to make that kavachomer, remember, you can make the same kavachomer by truma. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because that kavachomer works for anything that is of greater sanctity than Meiser Sheni. So if you're going to tell me that if Meiser Sheni is tamei. I can't burn it in a way from which I get benefit from it. So then, of course, the same thing should apply by truma. But yet, the Gemara is positing, the Gemara is suggesting over here that by truma, if the truma becomes tamei, and I am tar, that I could what? I can't burn the truma in a way that ultimately allows me to get benefit from it. To which the Gemara says, no. Ihachi truma navi kavachomeru, haksiv mimenu. No, but clearly from the fact that the Torah says lo bi'arti mimenu indicates to us what mimenu is, an exclusionary phrase. Mimenu tells us that what applies over here by Ma'aser Sheni, dafka does not apply by other circumstances. Meaning that in other circumstances, if the item becomes tameh, I am permitted to burn it in a way that what? That I'd be permitted to go out and get benefit. Which would seem to indicate that by Trumat's mutter, Uma Rois. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So here's what you're telling me. Here's what we could all agree on. We can agree, number one, that Rabbi says, when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni that became Tameh, am I permitted to burn it in a way from which I get benefit? The answer is no. Right, that I agree with. Fine. That we all agree with. I also know that it says, lo bi'arti mimenu, which tells us that this is only us by Ma'aser Sheni, but doesn't apply to something else. Now, that something else could be one of two things. So you're telling me that something else is truma. So when it comes to truma, if truma becomes tameh, I can burn the truma in a way that I can get benefit from. So if I'm a kohen, I could burn the truma and I could cook my food on top of that fire. So someone says, I don't understand, but how do you know that mimenu comes to exclude truma and not from kachim? Uma rois, how do you know that? To which the Gemara says, Mistabra kodesh lo bima'atina shekein pnak achas. So it would appear that kodesh is not excluded from this rule of Ma'aser Sheni because it has all of these stringencies. What are the stringencies of kodesh? Number one, so pnak achas is a mnemonic. Pigel, because the concept of pigel applies. So also remember again, pigel means that lemaisef during the avoda you have some type of disqualifying thought that invalidates the carbon. Nosar is left over; you can't leave over the carbon past its prescribed time. Carbon, it has the status of a carbon. Meila, it is subject to the laws of meila, meaning again inappropriate use and meaning mundane use. Kares, Rabbi said, for certain sacrificial items, if you intentionally go ahead and misappropriate them and use them in a mundane way, you could be chayiv kares. Va'asr la'onin, and the onin is not permitted in kodshim. So I'll say, because I would say that lemaisa kodesh has all of these chumradik ideas, therefore I would assume that it's kodesh that is ultimately again disqualified from this Ma'aser Sheni idea. To which the Gemara says, Adrabah. I could say just the opposite. Truma lo mimatina. Perhaps it is truma that is not disqualified. Why? Or not disqualified is the wrong word. That is not excluded from mimenu. Shekein machpaz. Because it has machpaz. What's machpaz? Misa. There's a death penalty if one goes ahead and not a kohen and intentionally eats truma. Chomesh. If you unintentionally eat truma, you have to pay back the principal plus a fifth. Ve'ein la pigyon, and you can't redeem truma. Whereas you could redeem Ma'aser Sheni, you can't redeem truma. To va'asru l'zorim, and non-kohen not permitted to eat it. To which the Gemara says, no. Hanach nefishin. Still, again, kodesh has more stringencies than truma. V'ibayseimon. The other possibility is karis adifa. That even if kodesh does not have more stringencies, kodesh has a potential of karis associated with it, which by definition makes it more chamer. Therefore, Rabosai, to bring this all together, what the Gemara is saying over here is like this. That whereas everyone will agree that by Ma'aser Sheni, if the Ma'aser Sheni becomes Tamei, you are not permitted to go ahead and burn it in a way from which you get benefit from it. And I know that the word Mimenu by Ma'aser Sheni comes to exclude something else. What does it exclude from this rule? It comes to exclude now Maskan the Gemara Truma, to teach me that by Truma, that Lamais again, if Truma becomes Tameh, I can go ahead and what? I can go ahead and burn it in a way from which I get benefit from it. And I both say, Halacha Lamaisa, the way you pass in all three of these things is the following way. So really, really, we do go ahead and we link Ma'aser Sheni and Kachim together. Yeah, and Kodesh. We link Ma'aser Sheni Kodesh. So bottom line is like this. Bottom line is, Ma'aser Sheni, if Ma'aser Sheni becomes Tameh, I am not, even though I'm Tar, I'm not permitted to burn the Ma'aser Sheni in a way from which I get benefits from it. So I will say, why is that? Like, what's the logic behind that? Gzeres HaKasa. That's the pasuk. That's what we learn from the pasuk. It doesn't have to be illogical. The pasuk says, now again, here's what I do know. I know that Mimenu tells me that this stringency applies to Maaser Sheni and doesn't apply to something else. What is it something else that does not apply to? Truma. So halacha l'maaseh, Truma becomes Tameh. And this is very important for Kohanim because Truma became Tameh all the time. Meaning, yeah, you have your non-Kohanic friends, right, over, and one of them are accidentally Tameh, and they touch the Truma, it could definitely happen. So again, so in order that it's not a full loss for the Kohen is permitted to use that Truma for fuel. So Truma, even if it becomes Tameh, and I am Tameh, permitted to burn it in a way from which I get benefit. However, when it comes to Kodesh, when it comes to sacrificial items, Kodesh resembles more Maaseh Sheni than it does Truma. Namely, again, that's what? That l'maaseh, if Kodesh becomes Tamei, then what? And I have to burn it. I am obligated to burn it, but I am not permitted to get benefit from it while I burn it. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Mitzvah about 2 days tomorrow. Just a reminder, Mitzvah Shem tomorrow begins Chanukah. Throughout Chanukah, we will begin at 5:45 because we'll be davening a little bit earlier. So 5:45 from now through the end of Chanukah.